The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to The Promised Land, a show about Manchester United and part of the 90 Min Podcast Network. I'm Scott Saunders, as ever joined by Rob Blanchett to talk all things Manchester United, who are one of the best, most entertaining teams in the Premier League, according to the manager.
I didn't realise you were going to start off on that stellar quote, obviously.
Well, I wasn't going to, and then it just came into my mind. He's not wrong. I don't think he's wrong. Just maybe not from a United perspective.
I don't know. Like maybe bonfires excite people on November the 5th. You know, I don't like him every day of the week, especially not in my football team. So, like, I don't know. It's quite interesting because that quote, obviously, people were like, oh, he's been misquoted. Watch the whole thing. And then the quote makes sense. So I watched the whole thing and it still didn't make sense to me. I'm still like, yeah, you might think it's entertaining, but that does not pay the bills. I'm sorry. So, yeah, it's funny that you said that because after that game, I don't think many of us felt entertained, really. But I'm sure
people who weren't there were. Who were maybe hoping for United's downfall.
Yeah, I actually think that Man United are entertaining to everyone that doesn't support Man United.
Yeah, that's essentially what I mean. Yeah,
so if he's giving that in his pressers afterwards, he goes, oh, we're entertaining. It's like, I don't know any United fans. In fact, there were a few, like again, with the response I put to that comment on Twitter, and there were a few just desolate voices saying, oh, I prefer this football as a United fan. It's better than watching Guardiola. And it's like, you can say that while United are absolutely awful and City are winning everything. It's like, okay, there's got to be a balance somewhere, Scott.
We're not going too deep into what Eric Ten Hag said. I mean, I think most people now are in the point of, I can't wait for the season to finish. The FA Cup final is where it will finish, whether United can magically beat Man City in the final at Wembley is anyone's guess. I think most people going in would think, no, we're just going to see the same as last year. But hey, you never know. United are quite weird. So
the good thing is, I don't think City are as good as last year. So that might help us, isn't it? If City were going for the treble last year, weren't they? And they were just like animals. This year, they're not as prolific, are they? You know, ask Real Madrid that. So they can still score goals and still hurt Man United, but we'd have to put in a performance score. Anything could happen in a derby like that.
Well, they have beaten United home and away this season, though. But anyway, we will see. We'll come back to that later on, a few weeks' time. End of next month.
It's coming.
If it is. But United fighting for sixth place currently. So,
yes.
The best of the, or the second best of the rest outside of the Champions League places. The second best of the rest. It looks like Villa are getting Champions League. Fair play to them. After Tottenham were defeated by Arsenal in the North London derby, they've got to go to Chelsea. You know, it seems like the table is effectively set unless United lose at home to Newcastle, lose at home to Arsenal, lose at Crystal Palace, which is all conceivable and could happen. Maybe United fall down to seventh Europa Conference League.
Your favourite, Scott.
God, I mean, wouldn't it just be this season, like, nailed on if United ended up in the Conference League?
Kind of what we deserve. That's how I feel. Like, you know, in football, they will say you get what you deserve in football, and it's not always true. But United are about the seventh best team in my head, like, when I look at it all. You just mentioned Aston Villa there. We did a comparison the other day about Villa and Tottenham. you look at the squad for squad. United squad is not worse than those teams above them. It really, really isn't. But all right, we've had injuries. But it feels like there's a big gulf there at the moment in quality. So, yeah.
United have beaten Villa home and away this season.
Exactly. That's the madness. But I remember that game, the one at Old Trafford, where we were losing 2-0, weren't we? And then we just went mad and scored 3, wasn't it? And we beat them away on the road as well. But there were anomalies. It didn't feel like we were on their level. We were on their level for about 10 minutes or 20 minutes and then smashed them. So, I don't know. Like, yeah, as you said, credit to Villa. I think Villa have been definitely the surprise package of this season. Some of the performances they've put together have been stellar.
Yeah, I think unless Arteta wins the league with Arsenal, I think Emery is manager of the year, but Erik ten Hag definitely isn't. But anyway, we will today we're not going to reflect too much on the football itself. We'll talk about the news because Man United's entire squad is up for sale, as we have discussed. We've discussed this at times in the past,
yes,
saying they should do this, and now those within the club are saying, yeah, go on, we'll have some offers. Maybe somebody will bid 15 million for Marcus Rashford and then they'll have to take it, according to it's a conversation I had the other day.
Oh, the jest.
Marcus Rashford, one of the high profile players who, I think what United are effectively saying here is, look, you guys have had enough chances, but we've got Kobbie Mainoo, Garnacho and Højlund, who are the new kids on the block, and we'll stick with them because you can't fault the attitude that Kobbie and Garnacho have showed, really. Mm. I know Garnacho's had some like run-ins with the manager, but Højlund is honest as well. They'll all try really hard. They're all talented lads. They're the ones to build around, really. The other guys who are there, most of them have had chances. Some of them have been injured. Some of them have been bad. But, you know, rebuilds, changing squad attitude and character, you know, they need to raise money as well. There's new rules coming in about squad cost and a spending cap as well, which has been voted in.
Mm-hmm.
Will be fully ratified and the full details will be discovered or like confirmed, I think, in June, which effectively anchors the spending of all clubs in the league to the lowest television revenue earning team from Premier League money. So that should be interesting. It's just about how big the cap will be and how much of a multiplier the number will be from that number of television money that the lowest club earns. So that'll come in from 25-26, but United are sixth or seventh or eighth or whatever they are in the league, and they're not where they need to be. So is a fire sale necessary? We'll talk about that on today's show. We'll also talk about, well, if United are going to go and sell all of their players, I'm not saying all of them, but if they go sell all of their players, they also need to buy some. So Rob has some suggestions for some snips or some bargains to pick up on the market this summer as well. So we'll talk about that later in the show. Subscribe to it on audio. Apple and Spotify is where you can find us. Give us a 5-star review as well and watch us on YouTube, The Promised Land, a Manchester United podcast, where you can like the stream, subscribe, leave a comment, and hit the notification bell so you never miss a show. And follow us on social at @_ScottSaunders, @_Rob_B, and @TPLMUFC on X as well. So, Rob, where do you want to start? Do you want to go with the... do you have any thoughts on the spending cap? Should we just push that one to the side a minute?
Yeah, look, I'm a huge advocate of spending caps. Like, I really am. And the reason why I am is because football is mad. Yeah, if football had and could look after itself and its own, then great. But football has proved for many, many years that it can't, and that it's just some kind of capitalist utopia where there is no limits to anything. A lot of people say the Premier League has been very successful in that. Of course they have. Yeah, they've made money, but we've also seen how much money has exited the game due to that strategy. So I've always been someone, originally was never a wage cap. It's obviously something that is completely normal in America with American sports. So you see it with the NFL and the NBA. It's very, very normal to kind of have a cap limit where you work towards that cap. And then if you overspend on the cap, you are penalized. So it's not like a brand new revolutionary thing. It happens around the world. It's just that football doesn't tend to do it. I think it will help Manchester United. People say, oh, United, you know, wouldn't like it. Well, of course, they wouldn't like it because they're the richest club or one of the richest
clubs. Just to confirm there, in case you haven't seen, United did vote against it.
They did. They voted against it. One of the, what was it, four teams that voted against it? Obviously, bigger teams and like, no, we don't want to do this because we've got
three.
The money.
I think Chelsea abstained, which is odd.
Like, it's, I think that's a power play again, you see, because they've got their contracts in place and they're like, oh, well, maybe we could penalise the teams above us by voting or abstaining as they did. But the whole thing is, Scott, is that Man United have tried this high wage, high fee world for 10 years and it doesn't work for United. So I'm not as bothered about it. I'm like, do you know what? You might be going to force to go into youth, or you might have to go down somewhere down the market that you're not used to, but it's there, it's viable, you can do it, you can still build squads that win things. That's the way I feel about it. I don't think it's all about who pays someone 300 grand a week. Oh, I can. Oh, and that's how it works. It's not how it's worked for Man City. That's not how they've actually built their squad, by doing that. They've spent plenty of money, but that's not their wage structure. And look at United's. United's wage structure is mad for a team that's seventh, Scott. It's mad. So I think that there can be benefits there for our football club.
They're sixth, actually, Rob. Sixth.
They're sixth, mm-hmm. Are they, Scott? Yeah. Okay, maybe they end up seventh or below. Who knows? You know, but they're not right. Good enough. they are a hot mess, as I called them two or three days ago. So I think that's good for football. I really do. And I know a lot of people are like, oh, but what if the Premier League falls off because of it and then other nations take advantage of that? Well, that could happen. So what? Not just not interested in that stuff. I'm interested in the sport side of it. Let's have something.
The funny thing is, though, Rob, like with that, like Spain has a spending gap. Like on all their teams, it's a different way of calculating it. And Real Madrid's is far superior to everyone else's. But Real Madrid realized a few years ago, we can't compete with these Premier League clubs who are spending all this money. And they went and did it a different way. And they brought in young, talented players from South America and built their team with free transfers like Rudiger and, you know, spent money. It was a lot of money, but like not mad money in terms of like the highest transfer fee in the world on the likes of Vinicius, Rodrigo,
absolutely,
those kinds of players. And they developed them into players that have become some of the best players in the world. So yeah. I know they've signed Bellingham and they'll give Kylian Mbappe a hell of a lot of money when he joins in the summer. But Endrick's the next one who will come in the summer as well. And they love him in Brazil. He's meant to be one of the best of the lot. So, you know, that is smart. That's how you do it. That's how you do it. And I feel like Real Madrid are in the Champions League semi-final tonight. People make them favourites to win the Champions League. Now they just knocked out Man City. Mm-hmm. Not everything's about money. It doesn't have to be. Like, it's about how you use it.
Yeah. Football's only about money because football makes it about money. That's the reason. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't mean when you look... When Leicester won the league, which we know was a one-off, and Leicester are now back in the Premier League, coming back up, you know, they didn't do it through the chasm of just money, even though they invested a ton of money. They still did put money into the club. And I think when you look at Man United, Scott, it's that this won't stop United buying players. Like, this is the other myth of like, oh, United won't be able to create a squad that wins. I just think, again, it almost plays into politics, Scott, where people think that everything has to be a free market and that you can't have regulations for anything or anything like that. Well, that's really worked for our world really well, hasn't it? All the way from the banking sector to the current day. So I think football needs regulation, and I think this is a good regulation that will help the league overall. You know, you just said there about the it being off the... Is it the TV revenue off the lowest club? Is that right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that just means the Premier League will go to Sky and all the other distributors around the world and say, we want more money for the lowest club now.
Yeah, of course.
That's all it will be. This is a clever way to kind of go, oh, do you know what? The lowest club, I think even in prize money, does the lowest club get 80 million now? I think
something, it is money? Something like that. It's ridiculous. Yeah.
Only 20 years ago, the winning team only got 50 million. So you've gone from 50 million to win the Premier League to 80 million to get relegated or something like that. That's the kind of the mad mark.
That's a whole Harry Maguire.
There you go. A whole Harry Maguire or maybe a whole Branthwaite. We'll talk about him maybe so soon. But I think when you look at that, okay, cool. That's a way to restructure stuff. But all it is again, them trying to get a higher amount for the whole of the Premier League. And that's why so many of those teams, Scott, voted for this, because I think those teams outside the top five or six in revenues want a little bit more. And they'll get a little bit more now with this. And I'm all right with that, actually. I'm fine with spreading the wealth just that bit more.
United aren't terribly placed with this. I mean, they're obviously we all know that they've spent too much money on wages, but United are in the, I won't say fortunate position, but there's a position here where Rafa Varane's contract's up on June 30th.
Yeah,
he is one of their highest earners. Anthony Martial's contract is finally up on June 30th. He's one of their highest earners. There's some other players in the team as well that they'd like to offload that they might well be able to. Obviously, there's other players tied down. Marcus Rashford, I'm sure we'll talk about him a little bit more today. He's one of the club's highest earners, but his wage will go down after United failed to qualify for the Champions League, which has now actually happened, I think.
Yeah, fact.
It's actually happened.
Factual.
Yeah, that is factual. Unless fifth place is magically reappears as a...
No, coefficients. We're all out of Europe, aren't we? We're stuffed. Like all
Aston Villa. It's Aston Villa's time.
They might win it and we might still be out of the coefficients.
Yeah, I probably...
When you think about how bad, like so bad for Man City to not help us and Arsenal and Liverpool and all these teams that could have done well this year in Europe to aid Man United's quest for Champions League place.
But that will be the case moving forward for the next few years. I think it's going to be a consistent conversation. But United have... Obviously, the story came out yesterday that United have... put essentially all of their squad up for sale. Not saying they've transfer listed them all and said get out, but it's more of a, right, we have these bunch of players here, but we're going to, if you make an offer, we'll talk about it. It's that kind of approach. Yeah. I don't feel like, is there any, we talked about untouchables already, you know, Cobby, Garnacho and Hoyland that have been like noted down as the untouchables. Is there any others for you, or is this a case of, nah, let's start again?
It's further down the food chain, Scott, because I think, again, we bang on about youth on this show so much. I know some people find that boring, but other people like it. I think that you have to, your starting point must be younger players. So the three you just mentioned there are obvious candidates. But I think when you go through the squad, and, you know, the quote, I think, was like 75% of the squad United will listen to offers for, there's not going to be a fire sale. That I don't want to describe it as that. What it is that if you put an offer on the table that we like, we might activate that. Now, I think that's something United have not really done in the past. They've always been open to stuff, but we talked this year maybe a lot about Harry Maguire and, say, Scott McTominay, probably players that you might retain now, but also players that have now built markets for themselves. So these markets are real, they're there, and clubs might now come up with an offer where you go, do you know what? Probably go get that kid and bring that kid through in our midfield or in our defense, and we'll do that instead. And you know what? We're going to take this 40 or 50 or 60 million that's on the table now, because this player is only going to be used to us for another year or two or three anyway. So you're looking super long term down the road. You're not just looking for next season. So there's a lot of that. We could go through the whole lot, Scott, and even, I don't want to say it, like an Andre Onana, you know, someone you paid a lot of money for. If there was a route out, And you had a new manager who didn't like Andre Onana, then even your newer signings, your most recent signings, I think are at threat now, because I think there will be a systematic move away from the style of football that we've seen in the last 12 months. I really believe that. I think that's coming in the summer and beyond. And then that means maybe some of those players that you bought for that style of football will no longer be needed, even if you spent a lot of money on them. Like Antony is a good starting point, isn't it? At 80-odd million. Scott, 40 million? Someone bangs on your door?
You're lucky.
If you're lucky. You know, but say someone, I don't know, like a team in Brazil says, yeah, we want to make him our cornerstone, even though he's not done great the last year or two. And United, 35 million plus this young kid who's good. So, you know, what do you think? And I think they will be talking like that a lot more openly about player exits now than they ever have in the past. I think that's a positive thing.
They've needed to do it for so long, though. Like,
10 years.
And yeah, for so long. And I think for me, even if the big thing about this, as much as like it's inviting other clubs to make an offer for the players, it's these players now have been sent a message that we're not tolerating this anymore. Mm. If you stay, you better try your damnedest to make a difference.
Yeah. Yeah, you failed. You have failed.
Yeah.
So therefore, your neck is on the block and all of your necks are on the block. And that's how we will operate from now on. And that's how it should be. You know, there should be no more rewards for who sells the most shirts, who's our most commercial viable footballer. You know, has this player won 10 Champions Leagues? You know, all of this stuff doesn't matter. What matters is how you play every week and where you go and what the future looks like. Let's be honest. I think until Ratcliffe arrived, and this is why I don't want to ring Ineos's bell yet, because nothing has really happened. We know bits and pieces and behind the scenes has been restructured, but there was no hope before they arrived. There really wasn't, because this was Glazernomics and the Glazers wanted to tie people up on contracts and one thing or another, and that's got us here. So there'll still be contracts, Scott. Players will still earn loads of money. There'll still be plenty of players coming to the club that are maybe glamorous or one thing or another. But you got to do it differently. There's no doubt about it. And I think Ineos have probably seen enough in 6 months to say, right, let's gut this squad. Let's go with youth and let's buy some players that are really motivated to do well for Man United. Because I think that's a big thing at our football club, isn't it? It ebbs and flows, doesn't it? One week they look like they care. The next week they look like they want a holiday. And then it's backwards and forwards and it doesn't really stop.
We've been asked to do the start. No, it's what's the sell or keep? Yeah.
Yeah.
Sell, keep, loan
for the whole squad.
For the whole squad.
Quite easy this year.
I'm sure we'll do that at some point.
We will in the summer coming up. Transfer window stuff.
that'll be coming up in a few weeks. So if you're waiting for that, I'm sure everybody will be doing it. But we'll have a go as well.
Tell us who you want. Tell us who you want to go. Tell us who you want to stay. You know, tell us the players that you like that might be a little bit left field, because I think that's all part of this wider conversation this summer. It's not just going to be the Frankie de Jong summer. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think we were bored of that when it happened and we really don't want that to happen again. Though, of course, if Frankie de Jong banged on our door, we might have a conversation with him and say, well, you're up for it. But I think all that stuff is a little bit going to be. Those fires are going to be put out, Scott, pretty early on.
I'm going to play a game with you now. If you receive a 50 million offer for Marcus Rashford, what do you do?
Not 50, no. No, he's worth more than
you 50. Negotiate up.
I'm not against, obviously, Marcus being sold for one or two reasons. One reason is that I don't think his performances this year have been good enough, and I don't think he looks particularly happy in a United shirt anymore for whatever reason. I'm not going to speculate why. And I think that you could go out and buy a player for his position who is cheaper on less wages. I'm giving lots of reasons here. And
you already have one anyway.
And you've got Garnacho who can play left-sided. So that's all the reasons you need to just have a conversation about a player's transfer fee. 50, no. Like, he's worth more than 50 today. Like, in a year, he might not be worth more than 50. But today, he's definitely worth more than that. And do you imagine, Scott, if he goes to the Euros with England, and there's still a chance that he will, and say he blows up at the Euros. That's an amazing Euros. Scores 6 goals at the Euros. Mm. There'll be takers. A lot of takers. And probably United will be like, oh, 6 goals at the Euros. No, we're not selling him now. We're gonna build around him. So 50 million now. What would you give? What would you value him at, Scott? What would you take you, Agent Scott, to sell Marcus Rashford?
You're looking at 80. I would say 80. 80, we can talk.
Yeah.
I would say.
Yeah.
And that although it depends who it's from, he's been linked with Arsenal last week.
Yeah. We do believe that PSG are no longer interested. So that's quite interesting. That's recent.
I would also dispute that, though. I know they want Rafa Leão.
Yeah.
Rafa Leão is going to be hell of a lot more expensive than Marcus Rashford is.
Yeah. More complicated as it stands. And I think the thing is with Rashi is that it's more about, like, I think there's still the vibe that he wants to stay at United. I don't think that vibe's really been particularly broken. I think what we need to now work out is what's happened with the performances in the last year. And is there anything we can do to help him be a better version of himself next season? Because if he's going to stay, then you want to get the most out of him, don't you? But I think also you don't stand still. You don't just go the world's about Marcus Rashford, because maybe that's what it was last year, Scott. Maybe that was the problem, was that the whole team was about Marcus Rashford's goals and you wouldn't have come third without Marcus Rashford last year.
Yeah. If the manager changes that, I think Rashford stays. And I would prefer Rashford stays as well. I know that's not overly popular, but I feel like I'm fine either way. About most players, actually. I'm fine either way. Stay or go. I'm very much down for proper planning, I suppose. And if you feel, or if Ineos feel, with their educated football brains, because when Ashworth gets in, like that's a good team. It is a good team. It's a sensible team of people. If they feel like they can fix it with whichever players they choose to keep, then I feel like you give them a chance.
Yeah, and I think there's accusations here, like with Rashford, about toxicity and stuff like that, and I don't believe any of that. I really don't. That's not what we hear. That's not the truth. And we hear, you know, I don't think Rashford is a toxic presence at United or in the dressing room, or people don't like him, or he doesn't like this, that, or the other. It might have fallen out with the manager for reasons, but I don't think that's what you judge stuff on. Do you get what I mean? So, like, if you can reintegrate Marcus next year and say you have got a new coach and there's new practices and you're looking to do something different, then you retain him, don't you? Because, like, you're not going to give him away. That 15 million to 50 million mark is a joke. Like, you can't give a player like that away as it stands there. You might just have to drag him through the fires to get him back to where he needs to be. It's not that Marcus Rashford is the worst footballer on earth. You've got to just find a way. I'm with you, Scott. I'm like that. I'm thinking if you can find way routes to players to be better, then maybe coach them better and get them to where you want them to be and find a style of football that works.
I'm also going to play the same game with Bruno Fernandes. If Saudi Arabia...
Right. Let's keep playing this game. It's good. It's a good game, isn't it?
All right. And you get involved as well in the comments if you'd like, this game.
Yeah.
You receive a 60 million offer for Bruno Fernandes.
Whoa.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, my caveat is this, right? My caveat is this. If Bruno Fernandes stays at Man United and whoever the manager is next year keeps saying that, you know, caveat, caveat, caveat. If Bruno Fernandes is going to play number 10 for us next year, I'm not selling him. I'm keeping Bruno if he plays number 10. If Bruno plays the number 8 next year, sell him. If Bruno plays a 6-8, sell him. If Bruno ends up wide somewhere, sell him. If Bruno collects the cones and the footballs at training, sell him. But if he plays the number 10, do not sell him, because for 60 million, you're not getting many number 10s who are better than that. Maybe go and use him as the 10 and get a kid that works with him and you can rotate a little bit and Bruno sits on the bench every now and then. That is more feasible to me. That's what you should be doing when you're building your club. I don't think Bruno is specifically, again, a problem. He's got a big gob. He likes to roll around and he can be divisive. But I think overall he helps you in the 10. He just doesn't help you in other places. So, like, don't play him there. That's my kind of advice on it. But 60 million, no, not for...
I'm deliberately picking numbers which are just, like, on the edge of, you know... Well, 70. I say... For me, you have to... 70, you say?
70 up... Around 70 upwards, we start chatting a bit more about structures of deals. Or it depends on where, like, you know, the whole Saudi thing is, I think that's going to evaporate this year. I really do, even though the money is still there and all of that. I do think that the reputation of the league has dropped massively through agents. Agents have gone from being, oh, this is a great place to take all our clients, to our clients hate it here. We're not doing this for the other clients that we've got. They will still be backwards and forwards. I don't think Bruno Fernandes, as it stands, wants to go to Saudi, whereas I think it was on the table 12 months ago. He didn't want to go then either. So I don't think he's now suddenly going to go, oh, actually, I could do Ruben Neves. You know, I don't think he's at that stage yet of his career when he's hitting still elite numbers in the Premier League. Like we say this, don't we, Bruno, is we can talk about performances and use, but his numbers are still at a level where it's a Premier League standard.
I'm with you on Bruno. I mean, I think he would be the one for me that I wouldn't... It would have to be ridiculous. It would have to be a ridiculous offer for me. And yeah. I don't think United are getting that. But for me, what you do in the summer, and I'm not sure if this is on United's plan, play Bruno. Like, I think Ten Hag will go. I think Tuchel will come in, right?
Yes, yes.
You got,
yes and yes.
You got 4-2-3-1. I don't know which way you'll go. He's played other formations as well, but you go 4-2-3-1. Kobbie Mainoo plus a defensive mobile six. Mm-hmm. Bruno Fernandes in the 10. Yeah. And that's your midfield. And I think if you get enough cover beneath or underneath Bruno Fernandes, and you've got Kobbie, who is the one who can transport it from defence to midfield and carry it, which is what United have always wanted. You have somebody younger and more mobile than Casemiro, who can cover every blade of grass and can tackle and can defend and can pass. There's players out there like that. God, you bring one of them in, and then your midfield is secure for me. I think your midfield's secure. And then obviously you've got other things to do in other positions, but the two centre-backs are really important. Also, I'm gonna say this, actually. What do you think? Let's say, hypothetical, Erik ten Hag leaves, right?
Mm-hmm.
United want two centre-backs, potentially. Yes. A right and a left. We'll talk about other centre-backs later. United want two centre-backs, potentially, a right and a left. We've been talking about Branthwaite. We've been talking about Todibo.
Mm-hmm.
Lisandro Martinez as your six.
Yes.
Alongside Mainoo.
I still don't understand why we haven't seen that. I do understand why. Because we've been told why exactly to our faces. We know exactly why he's not being there. And we know what Ten Hag thinks about it. But again, there's a lot of the problems that we talk about, Scott, in the last 12 months. I think are all very fixable by just certain tweaks and doing stuff that we're not seeing on a week-to-week basis. I think Lisandro Martinez, that there is definitely, there's a very strong case when we talk about systems, systematic things. Say every system is a variation of 4-3-3, yeah? But that's not particularly true either. But say you play three at the back and you go to that system, then someone like Lisandro Martinez becomes infinitely more valuable in a back three. He really does. He play the left side, and it means then that the middle centre-back can be a Branthwaite, can still be a left footer, can move the ball out to the left. So you can do those things. But I think when you look at the number six role and what you want from the six is you want someone who's technically proficient, can cover, can tackle, can read, and can move the ball like a centre-back does. Guess what? United have got one of those already. So I think that for some reason, Erik ten Hag thought, I'll do Amrabat this year. Amrabat's the one who'll do it. And I was like, yeah, if you play Amrabat in the six and the eight and you mesh them with him and Kobbie and you work it around that, say because Casemiro's not doing it for you or whatever, or you need Casemiro's on his way out as we kind of saw throughout the whole season. Okay, cool. But he's not done that either. He's brought Amrabat and he's just not done it. He's decided he's not doing it. He's decided he's going to do something else. But I think you've got Lisandro Martinez. I was thinking exactly this today because the show today, and people might see it on the thumbnail and on the titles, is that we're going to talk about a little bit about centre-backs and it will impact Lisandro Martinez. It really, really do, because I think that if you want more athleticism and you want more technique and you want to have a more Premier League like defender, might help Lisandro to be playing in the six. Get him in the six and let him dictate from there. I think him and Kobbie there, like, just be beautiful. The idea of it, without even ever seeing it, just in profiling, you go, it's almost perfect. Why have we never seen it? So we know it's because Martinez has been injured. I would like Lisandro to stay at the football club, but I also think United might look at left centre-back through the summer and go, do you know what, actually? We want to go this route now. We want to go with someone who's more physically imposing on the left foot there because we're going to play, and you said Tuchel will want maybe a Rudiger-style defender, you know, who can do different things. And maybe Martinez at 5'8", 5'9", is a little bit too short for those things, even though we've said in the past he's not. We know we're kind of fighting his corner there, but I'm talking about a new manager might want to change that. So I don't want to see Martinez leave. I definitely want to keep him 100%. He's good enough. Yeah, play him in six, Scott. You don't need to go shopping for a six, do you? Solves a problem.
I would.
Like that. But, well, you'd go shopping, but maybe for a younger six. You go, again, a 20-year-old, you go, like, said it so many times, you go find your Lavia. You know, Lavia's done nothing at Chelsea, but I still think Chelsea got him in their pocket and he's going to be fine for them. So you go find your young number six. You know, you go look for a Camavinga somewhere who can play the 6-8 and do all that stuff.
To their credit, they did look for Camavinga. They did.
They did. Right. They offered 19 million. They wanted to say, they said, we want you for 19 million. And then Real Madrid went, now we'll have him. So you're right. They're still looking at, they've always looked at players in the market and in those positions. But I think now you have to be very systematic about how you build this. But I think this year in the summer, it's going to be the defence. You need to rebuild this defence because this year, the attack's been poor. Like, we know that. But it's the balance between that gap in the midfield between attack and defence, and your defence hasn't been able to cope at all. But we know it's been injuries, but I also know there's a natural progression here of Varane out the door, Lindelof potentially out the door, Casemiro in front as a six out the door. There's a lot of rebuilding to do, and you've got to do it fairly swiftly.
Let us know, everyone, what you think of... play the game with us. How much would you take for any of those players? Should we do one more before we move on?
Why not?
I need to think now. 20 million for Harry Maguire.
No.
What would it take? I deliberately went lower than 30.
It is difficult.
I think 30 you talk, but 20 you don't.
I think it's been really good this year. That's a problem.
Honestly, fair play to Harry Maguire, right? He would be the kind of person that you'd like to keep around.
Yes.
Given the character that he's demonstrated the last year.
I would say to him personally, again, more caveats, I'd say we'd like to keep you on a low wage. So if you want to get
away,
you're
not going to play much.
Well, you say that, but I still think he'll play plenty. We just talk about moving. Yeah. We've just moved Lisandro Martinez from the defence to the midfield. So there's space there to play. And of course, there's been injuries this year and he's played a lot. And I think he could play next year a fair amount. And you want to keep some experience in there. Like, if you're going to go buy younger in the centre-back positions, you still want some coverage there and you want some leadership. Maguire's not the perfect player. We know that. But again, 20 million, I think, again, is just not enough. And I think the idea would be is that, right, you've had a good season, we'd like to retain you, we'll give you a contract extension, but these are the terms, and we simply are going to work to something that looks like a wage structure now, because guess what, there's a wage cap coming. So like, it helps there, doesn't it, with a Maguire, is that you're not overpaying on the wage, because there will be a cap and there'll be some kind of level there for a player of his standard. And again, I don't think Maguire's world class, but he could go to the Euros again, Scott, have an amazing Euros for England, and suddenly he's worth a lot more than 20 million. I think Harry's done really, really well. And this is from someone who was absolutely willing to sell him for a knockdown fee 12 months ago.
I keep Maguire over Lindelof.
100%. I hate the comparisons between the two. I really, really do. Like, people know I'm not a Victor Lindelof fan, but Victor Lindelof hurts you so badly when he plays football for you. And I don't believe that Maguire does. Maguire can be slow and get run, but Maguire reads the game better and actually is putting in more Ten Hag things about pushing up and trying to hold the space. Lindelof, for me, is primed and ready to go. Like, get rid. He's definitely one of those names that... 20 million for Lindelof? Bite your hand off.
You're not getting that.
But no, you're not.
Getting 10, 15, like me. Yeah,
he'll be on his way to, I don't know, back to Benfica or somewhere like that. And you know,
he could go to, like, I know Inter are great, but if they sell like Bastoni or something like that,
yeah,
Inter could pick him up and he would look all right.
And he'd be good there. He'd be all right. Yeah.
He'd look all right. Matteo Darmian is out there.
Darmian. I had Darmian in my head there. Exactly, like Darmian goes in. People go, oh, Darmian's really good. It's like, I watch Darmian every week.
I watched Darmian every week just kick the ball up in the air. It was just lumping in the air.
And he was the low light, you know, so it's kind of like, you know, so yeah, I know that's it. And I think the thing is with Lindelof is that he's eked out a Man United career as long as possible, I think. You know, he's done well to be at our club that long. And he actually got a new contract only a couple of years ago.
I think he's been there 7 years now.
Yeah, that's
2017, I think he signed.
You know, for a player that came to Man United under Mourinho and literally couldn't get in the team for 6 months. So like, I think that he's done all right at times and he's helped you, but I don't think he can help you going forward.
Right, we'll move on in a second to talk about potential players that United should be looking at signing.
Yes.
But contracts expiring this summer. Rafa Varane. There's an option for a further year, which won't be triggered.
Nope.
Anthony Martial. There's an option for a further year, which is not going to be triggered.
Goodbye.
Sofyan Amrabat's on loan. The option to buy will not be triggered.
Gone.
Johnny Evans and Tom Heaton. If Johnny Evans stays around as a player coach, whatever. Tom Heaton, third choice goalkeeper, good character. Meh, whatever.
Happy
and
like,
if he wants to retire, he can retire. But
happy to keep them as part of the squad. It's fine.
Then you've got next summer, and I'll only do 2025 as well. Willy Kambwala, his contract's up. I'd imagine they'll renegotiate and loan him out. Christian Eriksen probably leaves this summer. Victor Lindelof, we've talked about. Ahmad, contract up with an option for a further year. I'd imagine that would be triggered. Whether United sell him or not, maybe depends on who the coach is.
Mm-hmm.
Harry Maguire, we've talked about. His contract is up next summer, although they do have an option for a further year. So maybe the talk about renegotiating that's different squad role, different wage structure, maybe he would be a good example to follow if he commits. Scott McTominay, contract up in 2025, club option for a further year. I think he stays, but if you get a good offer, wouldn't surprise me. And Aaron Wan-Bissaka is the other player who is up and out of contract. United have already triggered the one-year extension on his contract, so they have a decision to make on Wan-Bissaka this summer. He's been linked with Saudi Arabia this week as well.
Mm-hmm. You know, Wan-Bissaka, anyway, since he came back from being injured, it's only recent, he's been bad. It's not been good. And I like Wan-Bissaka, and I've said that I've been impressed with what he did in the last 12 months and before, and first year under Ten Hag. But again, everyone's head's on the block because everything feels like quicksand, Scott, with the players, doesn't it? It's like they have a few good games and then they sink. So yeah, all those players you just said there, like you said about the likes of like Kambwala's contract is coming up. United definitely want to renegotiate that. But again, it's about how do you use these players? And you've seen with Kambwala this year, Scott, even though he's only played a few games, he's been useful. So there is something there. And I even think with Ahmad, I think Ahmad's been unlucky not to play more. I really do. I think he should have been given at least a few more games than what we've seen. That you know, his moment against Liverpool will live in the memory forever. Ahmad, the title destroyer, destroying Klopp's final season all on his own in that final moment of the game in the FA Cup. But I think you retain some of those players that we talked about because it's all about renegotiating and making sure the contracts work for you. But then you also got to give them minutes and stuff. And it's so easy just to chop out the Lindelofs and those names because I don't think they help you. And you can move them on relatively easy, but for lower fees. Do you know what I mean? That's just the way it goes. You have to take that hit now. So, interesting because there's still so many. It almost feels like every player, there is an opportunity either to get rid or to re-sign, you know, in terms of a contract. And you're kind of stuck. You're in that middle ground now. And that's actually a good place to be when you're Dan Ashworth coming in on day one because it's very clean slate. You know, it's like, I can work with this. I can move them out because I don't like them, but I like them and I'm going to add to that.
Harry Maguire, I didn't realise Harry Maguire's 31, but he is 31. So, he has a decision to make. Does he want to play?
Old. Like, 31 is like, someone said to me the other day, because like Varane's younger than him. Yeah, I believe that. People are like, well, Varane's younger. He's younger. And people are like, oh, but doesn't make sense. People are saying that Varane is like, is an old person and should go, and that's why to go and then keep Harry Maguire. The difference is, I think Harry Maguire this year in the Premier League has shown that he's Premier League viable. Now, I think Varane is also Premier League viable, but his body is falling apart. And that's why you don't keep him, is that even though he's had a good run of games this year where he's not been injured, we know the profile of the player is that he can be injured every 2 or 3 or 4 weeks and then you've got a problem, haven't you? You didn't mention the word Luke Shaw there, Scott. And Luke Shaw is one of our better players and obviously won't be moved out. But Luke Shaw is, again, someone that you're looking at and going, well, can he stay healthy? Or do we add that left back now and maybe rotate with Luke Shaw and then find an exit for Luke Shaw somewhere down the line? I'd still keep Luke Shaw, obviously, at the moment. But all those things are up there, isn't it? You know, Malacia, you know, is he the kind of name you cut now? Because, you know, he's had this bad injury this year. Do you chip away and keep players like that? So there's a lot of players in the squad here now where you've got that opportunity to move them on.
Just to confirm, Harry Maguire is younger.
Is he?
No. Harry Maguire is 6 weeks older than Rafa Varane. He is six weeks older, around 6 weeks ish. And Luke Shaw's contract is up in 2027. Right. Anyway, let's move on. You can subscribe, please do, on Apple and Spotify to the podcast. You can like the stream on YouTube as well. Leave a comment. We've had plenty to talk about today. Get involved if you would like. Subscribe to the channel, etc., etc. Hit the notification bell. We usually go Tuesdays and Fridays. And follow us on socials at @_ScottSaunders, @_Rob_B, and @TPLMUFC on X. And we're going to focus now on what Rob came in wanting to talk about. He's done some Twittering and we're talking about offloading players, but you also can't have a squad with no players in it. So if you do offload players, and let's say Victor Lindelof goes, Harry Maguire goes, Johnny Evans retires, or Johnny Evans leaves, there's a question about Maguire. You need centre-backs. So let's talk about centre-backs.
Well, there's a couple of ways of looking at this. And you can look at, say, maybe the Chelsea model, yeah? So what did Chelsea do? Chelsea had players going out the door. So Chelsea went and spent £1 billion and bought quite a lot of what would be on the market good young players, you know? United are not going to spend £1 billion in the way that Chelsea have done. It's just not going to happen. There's no way that will happen, but you still need to rebuild. So one of the things we talked about on our show here and have done for a while, and we've preached this again, is to talk about going down into the marketplace, looking at free agents and in terms of younger players, not looking at 36-year-old free agents, not looking at your next Johnny Evans, but looking at players who have got upside, have got talent, and have also got relatively like good recent performance. Like, I think that's really important if you're bringing someone in, because it's a stepping stone, isn't it? Again, I think United fans are very obsessed with, let's go buy the best centre-back in the world and put them in our team and that's how you do it. No, I think the way Ineos are going to do this, and Dan Ashworth, is they're going to hunt high and low for names. And there's two or three names, I think, that are kind of popping out, I think, which, again, are very, very unsexy. Not names that United fans will be at home, you know, wringing their hands about going, that's exactly who I want at United. We've just said there, you're going to be losing the Lindelofs of the world. You need to replace them. But you know what's great? You don't want to spend tons of money replacing them. And there's two or three that I think are on the marketplace that you could go get.
So who do you want to talk about?
Well, the first one we'll talk about is a Manchester lad. So I'm not talking about him because he's a Mancunian, but it's just the way it goes. But tossing at Fulham has been really, really good this season. Former Manchester City player, went to Fulham in the end on a really cut price deal at the end of his contract, like £2 million. I remember speaking to people at City at the time and they were like disgusted with that deal. They were like, man, he's worth much more than that. And there's a lot more.
He was meant to be like the, obviously he's not had a lot of criticism, but Pep's had some criticism, like with Foden, especially in the early years, about how much he used him.
Yeah.
And obviously Cole Palmer left last summer as well. And now we see him, but tossing with Adebayo was meant to be like one of the good ones coming through the
Absolutely.
Academy.
He had a loan spell at Blackburn where he was like sensational in the sense that he really kind of like you saw his growth. And then obviously being at Fulham this year, he had a bad groin injury at the start of the season, was out for 3 months. So that hampered his progress. But he's been in the Fulham team ever since the last 3 or 4 months. And Fulham have been one of the better teams in the Premier League. And he has been really, really good. But now he has refused Fulham's contract offer. His contract's about to run out there. They've offered him a deal and he has rightfully said, no, I think I can probably get a bigger deal and a bigger club somewhere now. Now, someone said to me recently, they were like, oh no, he's a Mancunian, but he hates Man United. He hates Man United. It's like, oh, maybe. But he has been at Man United before he signed for Man City. He was at United for a little while. So it's not like he's never worn our shirt or doesn't want to. He's been in our academy system at one point just as someone that's trying out. But I think when you look at him, Scott, he is on the market value. I would say if he was under contract, so if he's under a bigger contract, it'd be worth more. But he's probably about a £20 to £25 million centre-back. That's kind of his value. And I look at this in the sense of when Man City went and bought Akanji, yeah, from Dortmund. That was, again, one of those signings where people were a bit like, why? Well, the reason why they did it is they needed coverage. They needed a certain profile of player. And they needed someone that, kind of could come in and out and do the job. Do you know what I mean? And you need those players. They help you win titles. They certainly do. I think when you look at Tosin, I think he's a Mancunian, so I'm sure coming back to Manchester would not be something you'd be against. But I think he's proved it in 6 months that as a free agent, he's going to have people banging on his door, like in Europe and across the league. And as Man United, could you tempt someone there with a wage? I'm not saying huge wage. Like, he wouldn't cost a lot. He's 26, I think. So he's a good age. So he's not a kid, but he's also got years ahead of him. And I think he's absolutely perfect in terms of development. That if you're losing a Lindelof, that you replace him with exactly this profile type of player. 6'5", Scott. He's technical. He's fast. He reads the game. He can play in the fullback positions and he can play centre back. And he can absolutely play the ball out from the back, which is what all modern teams want to do. It's what United want to do this year, but just simply cannot do it. Nice little Varane replacement as well. You know, those two players going out the door, younger players and hungry players. Bringing someone, I'm sure after his year at Fulham, he's proved to himself that he can play in the Premier League. And he's proved to everyone else that he can play in the Premier League. And he's played well. It's not even just turning up. And he plays 90 minutes for them, Scott, every week. Like, you look at his numbers and he's a full gamer. Like, he's not off in 70 minutes, 60 minutes. He plays 90 minutes every single week for them. And Fulham have been great in this last few months. And he's been a big part of that. Go get him now. Like, it's a no-brainer for me that you can pay him a decent wage and he sits in your structure and you rotate him and use him as a rotational piece at centre-back.
Yeah, that's going to be the bit I picked up on there. I don't think Rob is saying buy him as your first choice centre-back.
But it might more of a first choice. They might prove it. Like, you might go, oh, wow, we got this kid. Like, do you know what? I know the Saliba thing is just a lazy comparison, but I think I said this again previously. Arsenal people were saying to me recently, before obviously broke into the team, they're like, oh, I don't know if Saliba's going to do it, being out on loan, and, you know, he's got all this upside. People love him, but maybe he's not good enough in the Premier League. Maybe it won't work. And obviously he came back to Arsenal. He's been brilliant. You've already seen with this lad that he has done it for Fulham. He's already shown that he can handle Premier League attackers and forwards, and he's done it really well. So, yeah, not your starter. Like, he's not going to win you the title, but he's the guy that is one of the people that you could put into your team. We think about all the injuries you've had this year, Scott, and now restructuring the defence. Doesn't it make sense to have someone at 6'5" who can run and can pass? Like, it's kind of like the dream at Man United, isn't it? In our defence, people that don't just fall apart every 5 minutes and can actually play the football out from the back.
So toss in as well. We've talked about some other players before we started recording. We mentioned there how we would maybe draft Martinez into a number six position in midfield. It depends who the manager is, obviously, but I feel like if you're looking to toss in, even with Martinez, if you wanted to play, you could use toss in as like your third, fourth centre back, maybe. You got Martinez then, who maybe you could look at in a centre midfield position, or if you wanted to play a back three, as you said earlier, maybe they are your two wide centre backs, or maybe toss in's an option as a right sided centre back or central centre back. We will wait and see, but I'm not against that, Rob. To be honest, I think that's the kind of smart move United should be making, even if he's only there for like 2 years or something like that. He shows time down to 4 years, give him two. If he doesn't get enough game time, you end up selling him later. You make a profit because he comes in on a free transfer. He goes to another Everton or something. And then for 15 million, you're like, all right, that's how you build a squad. That's how you make money.
Exactly. That's the business of football. And again, we talk about the business of football all the time on our podcast, don't we? So I think the thing is as well with him is that you're buying him at the cheapest level, it's free, and he would be a wage that is way down in your structure, but he might give you incredible value. Like, we're talking about potential sell-on. I'm not even thinking of it like that. I'm thinking long-term squad addition, someone that's shown. I think that if you played him against, say, 15 of the 20 Premier League clubs in any given scenario, I think he'd be fine. Like, because he's proved it at Fulham. He's proved it against Man United, Scott. So I don't think you don't just go by that, but I think you look at him and he can play different systems. And I don't think you would, you know, you turn up against, I don't know, Fulham. So you go back to Fulham, next year, and he plays for us. You would not feel upset about starting him at Fulham, whereas you might still be thinking Kamwala in the development scheme, you know, do you want to start him more games or is he just a bench piece this year coming up? Whereas I think someone at 26 who's proved it, I think he's played something like 170 top class games now, Tosin. So he's got games under his belt. He's ready to play more games. Yeah, I think he could be a really useful piece for United. Like you just said there about Guardiola, there's been these criticisms of Man City of, like, think about Cole Palmer leaving the football club. Let's be honest, they've made a rick on that. And I said that when Chelsea signed him, I was like, I don't get why City don't play him more, because every time I see him, he's brilliant. And I think when he went to Chelsea, I was like, what a pickup that is, because he's a 20-goal-a-season player. And he's absolutely proved it this year, I think. And I think he'll carry on proving it. He'll be at the Euros with England. But City let him go because they haven't got a space. So they haven't, you know, they brought in Doku. Probably should have left Doku and kept Palmer. I don't know. But sometimes you have to change it. I think Guardiola said last week in his presser, he said, well, Cole Palmer wanted to go. That's why I sold him. Cole Palmer said, for me, it's 2 years. I want to leave the football club. So I let him go. So that's fair enough, isn't it? But there are players like that out there that I think at the lower end of the market you could go shopping for.
We've talked about Jarrod Branthwaite a few times. I mean, Everton are staying up now, so who knows how much they'll ask for.
We know
I've been linked with other players.
A lot.
80 million, I know.
Starting.
Like it's yeah. Find someone else. Find someone else for cheaper. We've talked about Todibo on the pod. Chat is that he'll be available for 40 million euros.
Yep.
I think maybe that's not a bad shout, to be honest.
Two centre-backs there, Scott, for 45 million euros, 38 million pounds or something like that. Two centre-backs to add to your stock that will play games. Like, not just to turn up, not just to be your Amrabat, to, you know, squad filler. Two players that are viable to start lots of Premier League games. Well, can you get that value, Scott? We all say there's no value in the market. Fergie used to say there's plenty of value in the market. Two centre-backs there for 38 million quid. I don't know. Can you get better than that? I don't know.
I mean, that's what City have been doing for a while. I know they spent a lot on Diaz, and John Stones was 50 million years ago.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, I know the market's moved on since, but what City did with John Stones was, you know, buy him and make him better. You could see that there's a lot of talent there, but obviously the step up was the right step up for him at the time, and he's been there. Mm. He's developed into one of the world's best centre-backs. And I'm not saying that about any of the players I've just talked about. Maybe Branthwaite's that, but at 80 million, is that?
It wouldn't surprise me if that's the route, say, City go. I wouldn't surprise me if City go. We will go and spend the big money on Branthwaite because that's our development plan, like we did with Stones. And Branthwaite is a ball-playing centre-back as well. He can do all of that stuff. I think with United is that there's much more risk, isn't it, if United went and spent 80 to 100 million on Branthwaite. It's much bigger risk, not just on the player, the wait for the player to come to our football club. But, you know, you can get two centre-backs, Scott, for 38 million quid on lower wages. Hello? Like, none of this is, again, the business of football is pretty simple sometimes. I like Branthwaite. There's a lot of people, again, on my Twitter saying, oh, you get Branthwaite for 55 million, 65 million. No, you're not. He's been one of the best Premier League defenders this year. He has, and his numbers would stack up. And I think he's going to be a stonewall candidate to be England centre-back for many, many years to come, which comes with more value, doesn't it? It means you're worth more. I wouldn't mind.
You say no, you're not. You're not going to have a different negotiating team coming in.
Yeah.
And also Everton are financial trouble. So, like, I'm not saying that. I think if you get him for 50 to 60, I think that's a different conversation. 80 is too much.
If you could,
and United need to have that ceiling like they didn't have with Harry Maguire. City had their ceiling on Harry Maguire. City had their ceiling on Alexis Sanchez. City, you know, have a ceiling. And
that's
stick
what
to
football
it.
Clubs should do. Yeah, totally. Have your ceiling. Have your negotiating point. I think the thing is with Branthwaite, let's play the game again. If Branthwaite's value or market value is say around 80 million pounds, and United could maybe pay a certain amount of cash with players, yes, please. Let's do that deal. Like, let's talk now, like, properly. Like, that's the kind of thing that if Everton were like, we need to cut our cloth accordingly, but we're happy to sell, but we need cash, but we also need to keep players in our squad because we don't want to get relegated next year. And you bang on their door and you say, right, let's talk about Lindelof or even Maguire. Yeah, let's talk about what their market values are in terms of negotiating this deal. Then I think you can do stuff like that. But I think cash outlay is where the problem is. And that's why I'm talking about, you know, Tosin here and Todibo, because it's a free and someone who can leave his football club for a decent fee next season. Just so happens that Ineos own his football club. Isn't that a good one there? So there's all of that there. And I think there's those options there. And then there's other players on the market, like potentially like a Max Kilman, who's under contract at Wolves, but has totally shown again that he is a very, very viable Premier League defender who might be available around that kind of 30, 40, 50 million pound bracket. So there's people out there, Scott. There's definitely players out there that Man United could go shopping for that could help this football team.
I'm sure you've inspired so many people listening to this with your wow, big star. Yeah, that's probably what people are thinking. Although, I think you need to be sensible. These guys are Premier League proven players, perhaps primed for a step up. And I don't think we're saying here that these should be the starting players, but you do need depth. You do need Premier League good quality depth.
You do.
And
we don't have that.
You don't have it.
We pretend we have it because people on big contracts. So we go, oh, we got loads of players on loads of money. Oh, great. That's how it is. And I think that when you gave those contracts out, yeah, maybe you thought that. But I think the reality is now is you don't really have that. And, you know, again, someone like a Lindelof, he's not going to help you get in the top four next year. So get him out of club and find a way to help you to get other players because of that. You know, like I'm just saying there, if you did a swap deal with Everton with plus player plus cash, that makes total sense to me. It's like pay some money towards him, but then obviously you're getting another wage off your bill. Probably the money that Lindelof's on, Branthwaite wouldn't be on much more than that, being honest, if he came to Man United. Like 50k more, maybe. Lindelof's on a decent wage already. So that's the way I think to do it, and I think that's the way they will do it. I don't mean there's any doubt that that will be the Dan Ashworth strategy. He kind of done that in Newcastle as well, Scott. You know, like that's how he did it. It went, you know, he brought players in that, like, again, I think Gordon is a good example. You know, someone who has had decent value and they paid a fair amount of money for him, but it was a development project and kind of developing all right at the moment, isn't it? So I think United needs to go shopping in that marketplace of the 50 millions and unders, because we're so used to operating at the 50s and overs, and it hasn't really got us very far, has it?
Now, I think the wage thing is important as well. They need to start restructuring that wage model, and any wages that are pretty lofty, I'm talking like your 350s, your 325s,
totally.
That needs to be evolved into 250 ceiling. Maybe
like, we can never do a Casemiro again. Like I'm being on, like this is the whole thing. This is not an attack on Casemiro. We can never do a Casemiro 60 million pound for a fifth choice midfielder from Real Madrid on that kind of money, 350 grand. I think he's on literally in the top five earners in England. We can't do deals like that ever again. They are stupid deals that hurt you further down the line. You might get 20, 30, 40 good games at that player, but you can't do it like that. It's just and clubs see you coming, Scott. They see you coming and they're like, we'll rinse United for this. Don't be that club anymore. Go and find players who are younger, healthier, and will give you much more longer term, especially the wage structure. You're right, 350. That's why I'm saying a wage cap. Yeah, I think that could help Man United, could force you to be better.
Right. Plenty to dig into on today's show. We'll be back later this week. United don't play till Monday night, so we have another show to talk about no matches, which is a blessing, really.
Tough game coming. But I think Palace is tough. They're kind of playing all right.
Yeah, will be difficult. United.
Might be a couple of players there that we like, Scott, from Palace, who might be on the market.
Maybe we'll talk about them on Friday. But until Friday, thanks for listening and thanks for watching, if you have been doing either. Please subscribe to our audio show on Apple and Spotify. If you haven't done so already, give us a 5-star review on those and leave a comment. That would be excellent. And watch us on YouTube if you would like to watch this show. Well, you can like the stream, subscribe, leave a comment, and hit the notification bell as well on both audio and YouTube, so you don't miss a show and you get them when they're delivered and uploaded. Follow us on social media as well at @_ScottSaunders on X, Instagram, and TikTok, @_Rob_B on X and YouTube, and @TPLMUFC on X as well. And from Rob, any final word?
Crystal Palace, I was just thinking, Elise, we'll talk about him in the weeks ahead. Guess what? He's a Man United fan.
Oh, there you go. Fantastic. Oh,
injury record?
Injury I know record? That's what we'll have to talk about. Like, I think that's the thing, isn't it? Really good players, but see, that's the thing United are gonna have to do in it. Look at these injury records and maybe steer away from them. But I like Elise.
Stay tuned, we might talk about that on Friday or maybe on Tuesday after they have inevitably scored against Man United. We will see. But thanks for listening, everyone. Been a bit of fun today, a little bit of hypothetical stuff. And get in touch in the comments and get in touch on social media channels as well. Until next time, it's been The Promised Land. Thank you very much for watching. Thank you very much for listening. And see you soon. We'll be back on Friday.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.